From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
The Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parm, Neil McCready, a couple guests on the show today. Jeffrey Wright makes his weekly appearance where we have advice hour for Neil's children. We discuss some basketball. We discuss the idiocy of Mississippi State baseball fans and the Auburn-Alabama football rivalry, equal opportunity hatred across the podcast land today, and as well as Jeffrey having a couple suitors because of this here podcast, the power of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Also today, Chris Godoris is joining us. He is the head analytics guy for Ole Miss Baseball, one of the directors of operations. He had a pro career as far as TrackMan, video, analytics with the Phillies organization, the Mets organization. Been at Ole Miss about 3 weeks now, so we're going to talk to him just about acclimating to the South and some different things that Ole Miss and college baseball is doing to mimic some of Major League Baseball as far as advanced analytics, TrackMan, data, and more. So we'll talk to him as well on today's podcast. You're only a couple days away from the FCA breakfast on the Ole Miss campus. It is Evan Ingram is going to be the guest speaker, the special guest for Saturday's event. OleMissFCA.com, way to get tickets if any are still available. And again, that's presented by Craddock Oil. They've done a fantastic job for multiple years now. Also with Craddock Oil, you can go to the Oxford Exxon in Oxford Highway 6 West, ribs, lunch specials, and more. And with Blue Sky, you get 49-cent bottomless refills. Take your cup, 49 cents every time to fill it all the way up to the top at any Blue Sky, Oxford Exxon, Craddock Oil station in Mississippi. And also coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We're coming to you from Clark Ford. As Chase said, Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It is truly that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's just a great car buying experience. You get great service after the sale in addition to a fabulous Ford vehicle. We'll make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on any of our family of podcasts, a family that has grown by one here today. And it's $500 off. Bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Yeah, so a little programming notes here. First, Beer Garden later today, John Hamm, NBA expert, really a numbers expert for the NBA as well. So John Hamm on a podcast on an Oxford Crystal Beer Garden today.
And a chance in that Beer Garden to win a $25 gift certificate to LB's Meat Market.
Okay. Trivia question?
It's a trivia question.
Be the first to answer on Twitter, and we'll provide you that.
You'll have to answer on Twitter. You gotta send it at me, at LB's Food Truck, and then hashtag Beer Garden.
That's it?
That's all you got to do. You got to get the answer right.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, today, the debut, the inaugural edition of the greatest pod in the South, I think is what we're calling it. Is that correct?
That's what we're calling it. Greatest pod in the South.
It is
by Cathead Distillery.
It is Neil McCready. It is Jay Tate. It is an hour of shenanigans, I would assume. I have not listened. I did load it last night, but yeah. I have not partaken in said podcast at this point. You've been talking about it for a while, Neil, and apparently we've come to fruition.
We talked about it at least 2 years, Jay and I have. With me convincing him that I think this will work, I think you'll be pleased. Jay's little podcast scared. We're no longer scared of podcast. We have embraced podcast fully.
Well, you know what it is we talk about. Look, later on with Jeffrey, we're going to talk some career stuff, some different things. As we do discuss Neil's oldest daughter's college decision that is upcoming. It's not even necessarily podcast scared. It's just in today's environment. Not scared to make a mistake. If something doesn't work, okay, you go to something else. You in every job and every occupation, but especially journalism and media today, try some new stuff. Some will stick, some won't. You move on to the next thing. No big deal.
It's the one life skill that I didn't know that I had. I didn't know that I was entrepreneurial. I always thought I would hate sales. I would hate pushing sales and stuff.
Well, you've had, there's a healthy version of this and an unhealthy version for this, and I've known you probably 10 years. I think for a long time you had an unhealthy fear of failure.
Yes.
It's probably the best way to put it.
Certainly. Lifelong.
Yeah.
To where I didn't apply for jobs that I should have applied for.
I'm not going to go try to talk to this guy about something that could help his business and help me, because what if he says no?
I'll give you an example.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll hear us talk about some of this with Jeffries. It's on our mind.
Yeah, today's going to be a little bit of a live show. There's not a lot going on, guys. It is what it is.
And there's no basketball game until Saturday. There's no baseball game until Friday. And
it is coming like a Noah's Ark level monsoon outside right now.
Let me tell you.
The zebras are walking by currently.
If that outfield's not wet at Swayze tomorrow, they have done one hell of a job with the drainage system. I mean, whatever else might go wrong or go right, that will be the drainage system at Swayze is being tested in a major way right now, because it rained. I don't think it ever stopped raining last night.
No, it was like blowing in sideways when I was driving over here this morning. I mean, it's the deal where like our dogs just like went to the edge of the door, looked back at me like, "Hey, you go outside, bud." No, I'm good.
You go pee out there. I'm good. What the hell was I saying?
You said here's an example
failure. So I'm working at the Oxford Eagle very early in my career. I'm 24, 25 years old.
What was the signed baseball you had on your desk everybody used to tell the joke about?
It was a Ron Santo ball.
Was it Ron Santo?
Uh-huh.
Somebody stole your ball one day or something?
Yeah, they would screw with me. I was proud of my Ron Santo ball.
So who stole it?
Oh, lots of those people would steal it.
They'd steal it all the time? What'd they do with it?
I don't know.
Just take it?
I still have it somewhere.
They'd give it back?
I mean, I have it somewhere.
Okay.
I think.
You probably got really pissed, too, because early 90s Neil probably got pissed over a lot of things easily.
I did.
Go ahead, sorry.
So, I was covering Ole Miss and a gazillion other things at the Oxford Eagle.
You guys even covered like North Delta at that point, didn't
you? Yeah, and I was doing news too.
You did like Water Valley board meetings and stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff.
All right, go ahead.
The Ole Miss beat opened up at the Clarion Ledger. And in my mind,
early 90s, who would that have been?
Well, it was like Rusty Hampton was there and those kind of people.
All right.
Back in the heyday of newspapers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it opened up, and to myself thought, oh, I would have no chance at that. Now, keep in mind, I'm the guy that had broken Tommy Tuberville to Ole Miss. Covered the hell out of that job search that fall. My first job search ever, and I was talking to Tommy Tuberville and David Cutcliffe, and I had all of them. I nailed Tommy Bowden. I talked to all those guys all fall. Was all over it. I looked back on it. I dominated it. Crushed it. Was the first person to really do major college football recruiting in Mississippi. I mean, the Eagle was the place to go for recruiting stuff on a daily basis. They let me run the phone bill up out of sight. My point was I didn't apply for the job. And so at one point it was over. Rusty Hampton goes, "I'm surprised I was always surprised I never got your resume, your clips."
Really?
And I thought to myself, well, I wouldn't have had a chance in hell. And probably would have had a real chance, because I would have come for cheap. And yeah, I had that throughout. I mean, there would be NBA, MLB, major college football jobs when I was in Birmingham and in Mobile that I couldn't get that job. And I look back on it and think, yeah, I could have. But it was just the mentality. You have to get past that. Now I'm like, yeah, we'll try this podcast. And if this podcast fails, it fails. I don't think it will fail. But if it fails, it fails.
Yeah. No, it's no big deal. I mean, I've thrown one out in the river. I've had a website throw out in the river. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You move on. You deal with whatever. I mean, I tell you what. I think it's almost kind of, and this is not to get too deep here or anything, but we'll go to some guests in a minute. I go to Jeffrey first just to continue this conversation.
Yeah.
I think in some ways it's almost kind of made you a little more comfortable in your skin, because I think that some of this was self-inflicted for you, but some of the stigma about team sites has started to go down, removed as you branch out in different mediums. And I think as you've figured out that podcasts have a very prevalent home in today's media market, especially in our local market. I think it's almost made you kind of more comfortable on even being in this era. I felt like for you, a lot of times you thought, hey, I really should have been born 20 years before I was, because sure. I'm built for newspapers for 70s, 80s, 90s, not 90s, 2000s, 2010s.
It's one of the things that Jay and I talk about in our podcast is we're both that way. Like, both of us kind of admitted, don't you miss newspapers sometimes? Like, I do. It was fun. In some ways, that was the most fun because it was great. I mean, you know, you worked. You knew when your work day had an end to it. Our work day technically never ends. Now, it also, in some ways, some days it doesn't even begin. But it never ends. Yeah. Like, you know, if a story breaks.
You're on call all the time.
24/7.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in Mobile, for example, and I was at the press register, a typical day covering Auburn, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I got up and I did my stuff, and I worked ahead a lot on features and notebooks and things, and I'd go to Auburn, I'd go to football practice, I'd go to the media op after football practice, I'd go to the media room at Auburn, and I'd finish my notebook, I'd finish the story for that day, I'd file them, I'd wait 15, 20 minutes for them to tell me that they had it, that they'd read it. It was good. I had my phone. If they had a question, they could call me. But I was done. 9 o'clock. Done.
There's nothing you could do past that. Nothing.
I mean, you know, if a story broke between 9 and 10,
But you're still covering it for the next day.
But I'm done. I'm not chasing stuff to put on Twitter and all that stuff. And in some ways, you know, it was done. And you went to an event. You did the stuff. You was done. You didn't. It took me a long time to. I never wanted to, and I'm glad, frankly, because let's face it. Look, I anticipate being at Rivals for a long time. I love Rivals; they've been great to me. It's great. But if something were to happen, I mean, you know, we live in a tumultuous time in our profession. If something were to happen. I would want to be able to pick up the phone and call somebody at the Athletic or whatever and say, hey, what do you have and wherever? Because I got to make money. I don't think you could get that job if you had built the reputation of he is the biggest homer on the face of the earth. Matter of fact, I know you couldn't. I know you couldn't. I haven't done that. It's one of the things Jay and I talked about. You know, I mean, just that how we kind of did it our way. And Jay, I was one of the people Jay called when he got scared of Montgomery and Gannett, and because Gannett's a bomb. And he called me, he's like, hey, you like this Rivals thing? And I was like, well, I mean, I can tell you the pros and cons. And he's like, be honest. And I did. And I told him, I said, you're Auburn, man. It's a big fan base. It's going to be a big site. People like good journalism. That's why the Athletic's working. People like good journalism. People love your stuff in baseball. They love your stuff. You get to write about players and you get to write. It's why the Athletic started with pro sports, in my opinion. They started with pro sports because pro sports have more access than the college sports. Not making fun of, I'm going to pick on Ole Miss here, but this does not apply strictly to Ole Miss by any stretch of the imagination. College sports programs are paranoid.
Well, look, it's why with the Athletic, just take them example, and we're two completely different people. I didn't realize it was going to be a journalism podcast today, but it is. We're two completely different, signing up for different reasons. Yeah. You've got dude at Chicago, what's his name?
Sahadev Sharma.
Yeah,
that's dominates right. The Cubs beat.
Right, so you get him. You get a local person for the team you love.
He covers the Cubs the way that you cover Ole Miss.
So he's got that. You've got that. I subscribe to the Athletic because I just kind of like baseball in general, so I just read kind of anybody's stuff.
Sure.
It's why, like, his columns are crap, but, like, Greg Dole writes really great human interest stories at the Indianapolis Star.
Yeah.
So I read those human interest stories. I don't care about Indianapolis. Couldn't give two craps.
Right.
But I like Greg Dole's stuff, so I read the Athletic for those reasons. And what it's done, though, is with the pro sports, they get access, they get analytics, it gets all those things. But because of that, is also why I like the Athletic's coverage in those ways versus when I read any of the college guys at the Athletic, I go, yeah, I could write that. I know that. It's the same as ESPN. There's no difference. But the Athletic allows those pro guys to take the advantages that the program has and blow them out of the water. And that's not even possible, really, at the college level.
It's very challenging to cover a college football program right now. I know you guys are out there. Some of you are interested. Some of you are like, shut up. I don't care. It's one of the great things about college baseball is that it's still at a point where it's not big enough for them to tell people, hey,
It's big enough for people to care, but not too big to get shut down.
Yeah, they're not big enough for them to tell you, hey, man, we really don't want you out here anymore.
Well, no, I mean, this is relative, but from a college experience, from a coverage everyday experience, it's the closest thing to covering the pro game.
Of course.
You go out, you walk around, you run into people, you talk, all good. Access is fine.
The only rules you have are time related.
Yeah.
Hey, here's when you can interview. This is the window. And this is the window. And as long as you do in that window, you can talk to whoever you want. Well, it's like that in a Major League Baseball clubhouse. The clubhouse opens up 3.5 hours before. There's a period that the locker room is open.
Yeah, you got 45 minutes. Have at it.
Have at it. And then there's a period after the game that's mandatory to be open. Clubhouse has to be open for 30 minutes or an hour or whatever it is after 10 minutes after the game or whatever. They open up the clubhouse and you go in and you do your work.
Yeah, I mean, this is a credit to Mike. It's a credit to the SIDs that have been around that program. There's not really a paranoia. There's not a fear. It's kind of, hey, who do you need? How can we help? What do you want to do?
Okay. Bill was a tremendous SID.
And Kupfner was really good.
Yeah, and they established a
– Yeah. There's a pattern. There's a deal, yeah.
And so as long as you have the respect and trust of the people that you cover, it doesn't mean that they have to agree with everything you write, but they respect you. But you get access to people. You don't get that in college football, honestly. You don't. I mean, Ole Miss is more open than a lot of programs, but Ole Miss is really shut down. And it's not about watching practice. It's that when people say, well, what'd you see at practice? And I've had people go, well, you're lazy. If all I see at practice is some warm-ups and some calisthenics, there's only a certain amount of observation that one can make. I might be able to say I saw Johnny cornerback out there today, and he looked like his ankle was wrapped up pretty heavily. Or I saw Billy running back out there today, and he was moving around pretty good. But I can't.
We get stretching, and we get a lot of endo or skeleton. But it's that's it.
And sometimes we'll see some kicking game, and if they're doing any kind of fake stuff, I've always kind of thought, you know, this is where I could screw them. Like the Laramie Tunsil fake play.
I'd seen that so many
times.
Man,
when they ran that in the Sugar Bowl, I'm like, oh, as it developed, I'm like, well, there it is. I've seen that play in practice 20 times, and I've never reported on it. Hey, guys, there's a play where Tunsil – lines up as sort of a tight end.
Takes a step back, catches the ball.
Then slips out to the left and catches the ball and runs. They've got that play in the playbook. I didn't report that.
There was a play that for weeks, I don't remember if they ran or not, maybe they did, that was some sort of pass with Markell Pack.
Yeah.
That we saw over and over and over again.
Over, and we never reported on that. When I always get mad. Well, we can't open up the practice because the media is going to. No, they won't. You control credentials. Frankly, the most baffling thing to me is they'll close practice to the media and open it up to, in Ole Miss's case, quarterback club guys.
People that can't be regulated the way that the media can.
Do you know what they're going to say in coffee meeting? And if someone in a coffee meeting is going to go tweet it, message board?
Yeah,
you don't know who's monitoring message boards.
I mean, frankly, we benefit from it. It gets on our board.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have it. Before anybody takes that the wrong way, I couldn't care less. If Matt Luke were to say to me, do you care whether practices are open or not? I mean, I'm always going to argue for access, but I'm not going to say, well, why are those guys there? That's fine. It's your program.
Yeah.
But at the pro game, things are there's more regulation as to what the media is required to have access to.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to Jeffrey in a minute to continue some of what we're having a conversation about. Also, we're going to make fun of some stuff because that's what we typically do with Jeffrey on Thursday, so we'll open up with that. First, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage. Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast, also a leader in condo financing, and you get local underwriting that understands your market. So give Jason a call at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E at communitymtg.com.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance, but did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason, go to Google, enter Romero Miller State Farm in the little search engine thingy, and then read the reviews. If you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, you owe it to yourself to give Romero Miller State Farm a call. 662-893-1212. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, that's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, those type things, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application, rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
Now, Jeffrey Wright on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Jeffrey, good morning. A couple different things here, but I have to bring Neil in first for this one. So a second ago, I'm watching the presentation of the whatever the Iron Bowl trophy is called, where Alabama's student body president had to drive across to Auburn and present the trophy and make for kind of a weird halftime there during the basketball game between the two teams last night. And I see that Auburn is pissed off that the Alabama student body president did not sing the fight song, the Auburn fight song, during the presentation. Neil, help me here. Why is this a thing?
Because the Auburn fight song should be sung at all times.
Apparently, the losing school's president is supposed to sing the fight song.
I don't care about your stupid traditions. Like, you should just wake up and have the Auburn band play War Eagle just to start your day.
Oh, so you're actually on Auburn's side here because the fight song's good.
It is a great fight song. Yeah,
I don't care anything about like rivalries and whatnot. Like, if you simply can't admit that if you cannot admit that War Eagle's a great fight song, like, then you're completely blinded by either a rivalry or you're blinded by hatred.
Well, she clapped along to it. She was not disrespectful, but apparently she did not sing it, and that was basically just a black mark on the rivalry last night at Auburn Arena.
She is supposed to they are supposed to sing it.
Why?
It's
Well, hold on a second. Why are we doing this at a stupid basketball game? Well, you won the thing in November, and it allowed last night to happen, where Auburn is sitting here accepting this trophy after their rival that's giving them the trophy won the freaking national title, but drove across the state to basically mock them over this last night.
See, the Alabama student body president screwed it up. Is it a girl?
It's a girl.
She should have said, hey, would have brought two trophies over today, but we didn't want to get the shiny one wet in the rain, so we just brought this one that you guys can have for the year.
Did y'all know there's an Iron Bowl trophy?
Well, Neil did. He covered them.
Yeah, I remember them doing this at basketball games and me going, why? This is so dumb. But I'm the one that said Ole Miss should have left the egg in Starkville last year, and they should have.
You're still right about that, by
the way. Oh, I'm so right. I'm more right by the damn day.
Well, this is a sportsmanship trophy at Auburn, apparently. A sportsmanship trophy.
Oh, God.
Chase, are they gonna give us You're Not That Short awards? Like, hey, perfectly, completely average height awards.
Well, where she did get a dig in is she goes, she was sitting there and she gets the mic from the Auburn guy or after Gus or whoever talked, and she goes, you know, we really present a model for the nation to follow here, as there has been 6 combined national titles between Auburn and Alabama, and she's getting booed because Alabama has 5 of those 6. It was a bit of a passive-aggressive mark that I actually gave her credit for last night.
It was good, but she really blew a chance to do it upright. Now, she might not have gotten out of there alive.
No one was going to mistake her.
She also,
WWE girl that just absolutely like redefines passive aggressive.
Did you give her a passive aggressive award here? She wore a college football playoff lapel pin.
Yes. That's solid.
I need more. I need more. I need the championship game pin.
Okay. From the championship game.
No, the sugar. Where the Sugar Bowl pin? Because that's Auburn didn't. Because Auburn lost, they didn't get to go. I guess you could give it to. I mean, the real move would have been to wear a Peach Bowl pin. I mean, that would have been the real move, or that would have been the best move.
A UCF pin.
Well, you can't wear the UCF pin because UCF's claiming that UCF won a national title because they're undefeated. It's like you can't give them credit for winning, you have to give Auburn credit for losing, not UCF credit for winning.
So yeah, no, you're right. It's the Peach Bowl pin.
Right. I think that's the winner.
So that was on Twitter yesterday. Also on Twitter yesterday, the Mississippi State fan base, again, is going after Tim Corbin and believes they have the best baseball job in the country. I'm really going to enjoy this year-long coaching search because they had a full fan base arguing with Teddy Cahill yesterday that it is absolutely, unquestionably the number one job in the country.
Well, I mean, as we know, Teddy's not really plugged in, so you got to admit that they've got a point. What does Teddy know about college baseball?
Yeah, he... All right, they're great. Go ahead.
All right, here. Yep.
All right.
Hey, Golden Triangle, I know you're listening. Big fans of mine. A freaking stadium does not matter. A tradition in which you cared about baseball in the 70s and the 80s when nobody else cared about baseball does not make your job good in 2018. Like, it just doesn't. Like, you are a very solid job. You are probably, Chase, hang with me here, top 10 to 15 in the country, right?
Yeah, well, I've got them ninth in the SEC is the problem.
Right, but that's the problem. Like, you're ninth in the SEC, but you could easily be no worse than, like...
No, they're 15. Yeah, they're 15th to 20th in the country because they pay a ton of money and they can win. So, yeah, sure.
Right, okay, so let's look at who are other jobs around the country, though, that you would rather have that are outside the SEC? I guess Texas?
Yes.
Florida State.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good job.
Yeah, you're fine.
In-state talent, lottery scholarship, yeah, everything.
Clemson?
No.
By the way, Alabama just spent, what, Chase, 50-something million on a stadium?
They did. Kentucky is spending $40 million.
Did Alabama turn it right around?
No, they suck.
Did they just fire? Are they now on their third coach in 3 years?
Well, yeah, you know, brother played for him. The guy was a lunatic, and they hired Bohannon.
Right. So now, right. Like, but the stadium. Yeah, you know, that matters. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, I'm at a complete loss. I guess I'd rather have...
Would you rather have Virginia?
Yes. Okay. I think I'd rather have Virginia.
TCU.
Ooh. What are they paying Schlossnagel?
I don't know. They're paying him a lot.
I think I'd rather have TCU, yeah.
Okay. Just wondering. Go ahead.
Wouldn't you?
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. Metroplex.
Yeah. Kids, local.
Thousands of kids throwing 90-something miles an hour in Dallas.
It's why I have A&M ahead of Ole Miss and State, even though it's close.
Well, hell, it's why Dallas Baptist all of a sudden got good overnight.
I'd rather have the Rice job than Mississippi State.
That was going through my head. But
the problem with Rice is they don't do the Vanderbilt thing. They actually have some integrity about their academic system.
But they could if you sold them on it.
Well, you got to sell them on it. Pepperdine's been there before, right, Jeffrey?
Yeah, we've been there a few times. Yeah. Now Steve Rodriguez is at Baylor.
I mean, who are we hoping they hire just to send the fan base into complete and utter chaos? It's just another assistant coach, right? Yeah. Either that or get turned down by Mangione or Butch.
Yeah, I think I
need them to get turned down by Mangione where you get turned down by the Kentucky coach.
No, that fan base will spin. No, okay. They'll. We didn't offer. You know what I mean? They can. It has to be something. It has to be obvious that you got turned down. So it has to be like, you know, the Alabama number two assistant.
Listen, let me let you guys in on something real quick.
Uh huh.
Officially, no one will ever turn this job down. Not
for
this
sure.
time or any other time. That ain't happening.
Just like the Cal State Fullerton coach that got on the airplane, didn't turn the job down.
Came to Starkville, toured it, and then went back to Fullerton.
Right. Like, Neil, to the point where he toured, like, on the campus in Starkville.
He just begged to come take a look, and they didn't offer it to him.
Oh.
They had a bad conversation on the flight over.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's like when Rich Rodriguez took that plane to Columbia, South Carolina, and they put the offer in front of him, and all of a sudden he was just weighing his options.
It happens.
Thought he was going to get some of that SEC money.
Oh man, I don't know. It's good. Between that and just the spinning of the beat on, well, you know, Cannizzaro just made some bad decisions. Let's stop talking about it there. Let's not go further, please. Stop.
Just also, though, to be clear, Cannizzaro in four meetings against Ole Miss was undefeated.
That made every story.
I know. It's unbelievable. Your audience.
Yeah, that was a very key fact in his resignation story was his record against the Rebels.
Okay, time out.
Yeah.
Toss up. Whose cell phone would you rather have? Hugh Freeze's from Ole Miss or Andy Cannizzaro's from the last 8 months at State?
Well, Cannizzaro, because I've got a better read on what's in Freeze's, right?
Maybe, but there's a lot of spinning coming from that Freeze camp.
Okay.
I think I'd rather have Freeze's, and I'd rather be like, y'all can all shut up now.
Okay.
Here's what's in it.
All right, Hugh Freeze still not employed as of this moment. Can Andy Cannizzaro ever get another college job?
Ever, yeah, but he's going to go be a scout again for a little while, in my opinion.
Yeah, his problem is he just – there aren't many jobs, man, that pay in that business that pay $750. And,
yeah,
you know.
He had one of about 15, 20 tops.
I get it. Julius Caesar fell victim to it too, but, I mean, good God, don't be a dumbass.
Well, and yeah, just – I mean, as more and more comes out – not just doing the ag, but being a complete and utter idiot about it.
Yeah, it's amazing how dumb he was. Like, it's breathtaking. Like, Neil, it was so, like, normally, you know, we can usually, like, I'm with you on the whole, you know, I would never. Like, I'm normally right there with you, but I can say this. I would not have been sexting my girlfriend right before I go make a pitching change.
I was surprised. Forget what he was doing with his phone, because that's obviously significant. But I was surprised that he had his cell phone in the dugout with him.
No, apparently that's been a running joke in the industry with him, that it's been always.
Well, now we know why.
Just, but I mean, you don't want to be distracted when you're managing a game.
Apparently he did. Maybe it put him on his toes.
Put him on something.
Well, I mean, the weekend didn't go real well, so. They beat Jackson State last night, I think.
Well, I feel like the weekend didn't go real well because, like, I think this was a done deal before the weekend started. Yes.
Okay.
Are you basing that on knowledge?
So why would you allow him to even coach the first weekend then and create that type of spectacle?
I think there had to be some P's and Q's dotted.
Okay. I don't know.
Oh, wow. See, I'd heard something different, but you could well be right.
My understanding is that there was a group of people that knew last week. That's
okay.
My understanding.
Yeah, everybody, again,
that fan base will take everything that you say, and you can be right about that, but if you get one detail wrong, they'll act like that you are delivering fake news.
Okay, fair enough. Asked you a couple weeks ago where you stand now. Any SEC teams you're buying in the NCAA tournament?
Getting closer and closer to feeling better about Kentucky.
Oh, really? Like, even though they just beat Bama and Arkansas?
More importantly, it's now that the calendar is turning February, and they're playing like actually game 25 together. Now that they're like actually like they know each other's names and whatnot. Like, it's not just like, did y'all see what they did to Arkansas the other night? God, that was an honor and a privilege to have those 5 points. I only regret not laying 15.
I'm so glad I didn't take Missouri the other night. I was so tempted to lay those points.
One of our buddies, Chase and my buddy, he acted like this is a surefire home run, and Chase can back me up on this. I told him, I go, it is a no-touch game for me because I have seen all the sharps are on Ole Miss. So I don't know what they know that I don't. I just know that I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, Jeffrey, to his credit, the entire day was pushing Ole Miss here is the bet if you had to bet on it. And then it as the game played out, there was a lot of panic for the people that had the Tigers.
Well, the other thing is, as bad as it got for Missouri, Missouri just freaking hits free throws. They cover. They don't win. They cover. Like, I don't know. Neil, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being someone who's grown up in Asia, never seen a basketball game in their life, being the coach, and 10 being the ghost of John Wooden, who's an underrated ghost that we hold every coach to. How bad was what Konzo Martin did that last 45 seconds?
It was like a 1 or a 2. It was really bad. I'm not convinced he's a very good coach. I'm convinced he's a good recruiter.
Yeah.
And he has AAU ties, and he obviously was tied in with the Porter family. And Jonte's really good. But it's why when people clamor for – I'm not knocking the guy because I've never seen him coach. I've heard stories. It's why when people clamor for the Penny Hardaway type thing, I'm always like, well, what happens when they actually have to coach?
Yeah, but Penny did play. Penny knows more basketball than Konzo Martin knows.
He does. I've just heard his AAU teams are special.
Yeah, but to me, that's the – oh, they're special, but it's kind of the same thing with Cal. It's like when Cal was at, you know, UMass before he got Marcus Camby, Cal was a pretty good bench coach, and they ran more offense and whatnot. It's like, at a certain point, once you get guys that are this talented, you can overcoach them. Like, I don't know. I think there's a decent – I like Penny Hardaway's basketball knowledge personally.
Would you go that route if you were a school like Ole Miss or one of the other – first of all, let's backtrack 1 second. We haven't even talked about it yet. Chase and I haven't talked about it at all. The latest story from Thamel that –
yep.
With stuff's documented, like here's how much the guy got paid and here's how it happened. If all of this stuff comes out, it might not be in one big day, but it's going to be over the next year or so. There are going to be programs falling by the wayside. So if you're one of those programs, do you even dare flirt with Penny Hardaway based on the whole AAU thing?
Yeah, actually, I would feel better about Penny Hardaway than I would, you know, some other coaches that have AAU ties, like that are in the industry. Like, to me, when everyone points out like former guy, like former players that didn't have a ton of experience that didn't work out, it's like, well, most of them were taking bad jobs, and B, they did not have a built-in network of player getting. Well, I don't know what job Penny Hardaway may or may not take, but I do know one thing. He's got a network of player getting. And, you know, if he were the head coach of Memphis today, they would have the type of recruiting class that John Calipari had never even had at Memphis.
Yeah.
John Calipari might not have had this type of recruiting class at Kentucky.
I get that at Memphis. Now, at Ole Miss, you've got to prove to me that Ole Miss is going to change their procurement method before Penny makes any sense. They're not hiring Penny. I just mean that type of coach in general. You've got to prove to me that they're going to go that route as a basketball program before you go get that kind of coach.
I mean, I agree with you.
You're not getting those dudes for free. Let's just keep it real.
Well, that's kind of the issue because Neil and I have had conversations. Is now, like, I feel like this is the situation when the mob's kind of on their toes. And, you know, the mob's probably, this isn't the 20s, if you will. They're not just, you know, wheeling and dealing. And they're a little bit more on edge because the FBI is coming after them. Like, is this a situation where college basketball might kind of be clean right now?
Well, look, if that happens, that's good. I mean, Noah and I talked about that on the podcast. I mean, if you have zero procurement and everybody else's falls close to zero, well, you got better by default. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Right. If you're Ole Miss, you got to be rooting for
chaos
to get clean. Now, the problem is okay, eventually the mob will get back to business. So, like, it'll just take a while, but, like, you know, they'll sit it out. They'll sit on the sidelines for a couple plays.
Yeah, billion-dollar industries typically found another way around the rules, just saying. Well,
it's life. It's not just that. It's if you have this much regulation, inevitably a black market develops. Like, read a freaking economics book. Like, it's just unbelievable to me how, as Jay Billis said, how many people have this high of IQs but literally have zero sense? Like, that's the NCAA in a nutshell.
Ooh, I like that. Is that Billis?
High IQ, zero sense.
Yeah. Okay.
It's almost, but it does, like, Neil, you'd agree with this, right? That I think, and again, I've never been a parent, but I think, Neil, if you could give Carson a high intellect, or if you could give him common sense, would you just give him common sense?
Ooh.
See, Neil differs because he thinks the intellect's going to turn into some science job that pays him $1 million a year.
Here's the only thing I can say is that
I can tell you I have tons of friends at high IQs that that ain't the case.
No, it's a funny deal because I think all in all, I'd rather have the common sense. I'm you have to understand that there's a high school junior in my house right now who is having to make college decisions based on nothing but a standardized test score that is IQ based. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so like,
I'm just talking about
that's not going to be succeeding at life necessarily.
No, absolutely not. Right.
And I do know kind of your point. It's like, okay, well, if you do go to the right school, you can set yourself up for success in life with minimal talent. Looking at you, Missouri, looking at you, Syracuse, looking at you, Northwestern. Like, I do.
It's funny you mentioned Missouri. That was talked about at our house a lot last night.
Missouri? Like,
Missouri.
Took a break in our talk with Jeffrey to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. Really pushing pressure washing right now because what the rain's not doing is they're not really pressure washing your place. They're just making it worse where you need a pressure washing. So a couple different options for you here. $50 discount on a pressure washing job over 2,000 square feet or a free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalks if you sign an annual contract. Get that cleaned up prior to spring, prior to weather improving and temperatures rising. And you can do that. Give them a call at 662-607-7773 or MasterCutsLawn.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Gambrell & Associates. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. The podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got everything you could be looking for, all the new 2018s, great deals on previously owned Nissan vehicles, and fabulous lease deals. If you drive a limited number of miles, that might be the most efficient way to have a brand new car in your driveway. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about it on the podcast. You heard about it at RebelGrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of those already great deals at Grenada Nissan. We're also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site, HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. What you'll get is filtered results that are updated daily, and then you send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com.
Now, back to Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
Those are specific fields. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like.
All right, let me get y'all's advice. Let me get your advice. Right. This is the McCrady House happening on here on the Oxford Exxon podcast. So Campbell is a junior at Oxford High.
You got time for this, Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Okay,
let's go ahead.
And she's having to make college decisions based on ACT scores and stuff, right? And so she's one of these kids who is blowing the English and reading portion of the ACT off. She's, I mean, good, solid in the into the 30s, okay?
Okay.
Math and science, not so much. And so I finally said to her the other day, I'm like, well, you know.
Reading family tradition?
Yeah. I'm like, hey, if they, you're mine. I mean, her scores are like, she's reading them to me the other day. And I'm
fun. Neil Does Math could be a really fun video.
No. And me, like, you put science in front of me. I'm like, hey, can I go to sleep yet? You know, but anyway, I said to her, so what do you want to do? You know, what do you think you want to do? And she's like, I don't know. And she's frustrated. And I'm like, well, think about it. You know, I mean, like, what, you don't have to decide like the absolute field, but what are you good at? What do you like? And so God bless her, but she's the sweetest kid in the world. She sends me this text yesterday during the podcast that says, basically, all of my friends come to me to get me to either help them write or write their essays. I love books. I like to read. I like to write. I don't like math. Science is boring.
And who does that sound like, Cal?
And I'm like, well, you know, you just described me. And she's like, you know, everyone says go into medicine, and I know you could make a lot of money in medicine, but I don't think I'd be any good at it. And don't you think I ought to do something that I'm good at and that I would enjoy? And it's like, well, yeah. And so we start talking about, you know, law and marketing and sales and stuff. And she's like, and I said one sentence, I said, and I can't believe I'm saying this, and I reserve the right to withdraw it, but, you know, maybe television, something like that. You know, she's a pretty girl. She's got striking features, all that stuff that absolutely matters in TV. And she's like, oh, that would be cool. And by the end of the night, she's asking about journalism. And I'm sitting there going, but. And it's hypocritical of the three of us, because here are the three of us, right? We're gonna tell the whole world, do not, whatever the hell you do, go into journalism. And all three of us are doing pretty good based on journalism. We are.
Yeah, but we've had to basically develop a new path that is really beyond journalism.
We did, and so.
You also got to be, look, it's journalism today. You got to be lucky as hell. You got to be good too, but you got to be lucky.
I don't know if luck is the right word, because I've started.
Maybe you got to be motivated to a very high.
Well, you got to be willing extent. To do what Jeffrey did. I always use. I'm not going to kiss your ass here, but I use you as an example all the time, because Jeffrey came to us and said, "Do you have a need for anything?" And we both. I never really feel all that bad about it, because I was honest with him and I said, "I don't have any money to pay you."
Yes.
I mean, I'm always like, I didn't pay him very much, but he knew that going in. But Jeffrey lied to us and said, yeah, I know how to do TV stuff. And then he did it. He figured it out.
I didn't know how to do editing stuff. That's
yeah, but you know what I mean. You didn't know how to do specifically what we needed, but you said, I'll figure it out. And you did. And then, you know, we did the podcast stuff. And then here you are. You've basically got your own show in Memphis. It's not in your name, but you're doing the show, and you do other shows and all that stuff, and you're in an NBA market, and there's a big college football market, and it's right up your alley, and you're going places, but you had some stick-to-itiveness, and now, you know, can you get that message across to a 16-year-old girl? I don't think it's possible. I think they have to have some life experience before they realize, oh, shit, you know, you have to, you really got to work here. But it's like, she's like, well, what about the University of Missouri? And I'm like, I've made fun of it for 6 years, and
yeah, God no.
And it's like,
God no.
I don't know. But their grads leave that place, like Jeffrey's saying, they leave some of the most average writers in the world have big time gigs based on nothing more than a University of Missouri diploma.
The campus is freaking insane. Insane.
I understand that. I'm talking about journalism jobs.
Can you take out a second mortgage and just send her to Northwestern instead? Like, that's your
It's the other kid.
I don't think so. I mean, I've priced Northwestern. It just ain't happening.
Yeah, but look at it this way.
You can get a Northwestern degree, then make $32,000 a year and pay it back, Neil. What's the problem?
Over a lifetime.
No. Wrong spin zone. Neil, that's several trips. That's several trips a year where dad's girl needs dad.
Yeah, but
$148 hotels at a time. That thing's paid off.
What's that? The Cubs are in town this weekend. What do you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't even be able to afford the tickets.
You can always scalp and steal.
Oh, gosh. Not Missouri.
So Missouri got talked about
not
a lot.
Not Missouri.
A lot. So, I don't know.
Yeah, to me, it all comes down to one thing. Like, luck's not the word, Chase. The word is you have to, like, this is what people don't want to hear. And this is what used to drive me insane. Remember, like, a year and a half, 2 years ago when Twitter and journalism people were going nuts because of they were criticizing people that said, yeah, you know, my first gig, I'm more or less like worked for free. And they're like, why would you do that? Like never, ever work for free. Like I remember thinking to myself, this is why I hate you people. Like this is legitimately why I hate you people. Like like almost every major success story in this business is all the one common theme is, yeah, my first gig, I more or less did it for free.
There's no doubt. You've got to have a willingness to just get in a market, to get in a job, to get any experience. It's networking. And then here's the deal, too, for journalism, and maybe this is every sport, too. We're not Howard Stern here. It can't be taught. You either can do it or you can't to a certain extent. There's some people that you cannot put in front of a microphone and teach them how to do it.
Completely agree. You cannot teach.
You can't teach somebody how to write.
Not at all.
Presence. You can't teach presence. You can't teach charisma. You can't teach delivery. You can coach up question asking.
Yeah.
Like, I guess technically you could coach up that.
You can.
You can coach up AP style writing where it's a formula.
Yes.
That's it. But that there is like you can't go beyond that.
So you and by the time you figure out if you have that or you don't, you're probably halfway through your college career.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's kind of the bigger issue that you're going to face in college is you're not actually going to find out if you're talented. Like, you're just not. Like, that, to me, college, it's not like, at least like in college athletics, you can kind of identify the talent. Like, In that capacity, that field, like you might just get the right professor. You know what I mean? Like you might get the easy professor. Like there's no real, like, even when people are like, well, you know, I did the college TV and whatnot. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's, I went to college with two guys. One guy is Lester Holt's son. And the other guy is just a random guy from New Mexico. The random guy from New Mexico is the better talent. Guess who's reading the news on CBS4 in New York right now?
I'm going to go Lester's kid.
I'm going to guess the same, yeah.
That's the one. That's the one. Same age, same talent, both strapping guy, you know what I mean? Both guys put on the suit, like, know how to read the news. They can do it.
Networked, work hard, blah, 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 all good.
And that's 100% the difference. And by the way, Lester Holt's kid, I'm not even saying like nepotism. Like, but the difference is every single summer that kid was in New York. He was doing any and every, like, I don't care the fact that his last name's Holt. The fact that his last name's Holt is what gave him the opportunity to go and network and do all the things that you need to do. But after that, I give all the credit in the world to the actual kid.
You did. Go ahead.
He does everything. Like, that was the thing. It didn't matter. Like, that guy, anytime. Like, I would always go, man, why do you go to all this stuff? Like, the stupid stuff at school, like, and he was at every freaking one of them. And then I realized, like, oh, yeah, that's why he had 10 job offers before he even started his senior year.
Yeah, it's networking. I mean, here's the deal, too. I mean, you did Pepperdine baseball on whatever the hell that was from a radio standpoint. Did that make you think you could do it, or was it later on that you went, hey, I might have some sort of knack for this?
No, that was the problem. The only regret I have from college, besides my girlfriend senior year,
yeah.
The only other real regret that I have is that I never realized, like, I thought of this whole thing as a hobby. I thought of it as something to do to pass time. Because I always thought, in general, work was supposed to just be something you're miserable in, but hey, it pays you a decent, it pays you pretty well, and you're just always going to be miserable, and you're always going to think, what if? But
this was your justification as a food broker or whatever it was you did for a while, right?
Yes. Okay. And sales, finance, whatever it was, whatever the field was going to be, like, I just realized, like, it never clicked with me that this could be a profession. It just didn't. And that's the one thing that I wish, if I could go back and do it again, I would have approached television, radio, journalism, sports broadcasting. I would have approached that more professionally than I did.
Last minute or two with you, I know here. Do you any update on last week's interludes with our friend Jeffrey?
She said yes, but more importantly, that might have been the sneaky most brilliant thing I've ever done.
So as time has passed, we're more positive that was a good idea.
Very, very positive.
So how did it segue into, hey, coffee, dinner, whatever happened?
I was talking more about ever since I went on the show and told that, my DMs have been slid into.
No kidding.
Yeah. That turned out to be an awesome move for your boy.
On this show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This, like, show has power.
I got a couple of females, and this was greatly appreciated. I got a couple of females that were like, hey, good idea, best of luck. Then I got like some, hey, what are you doing? Like,
really?
Not like booty calls, but like, yeah, no, I got.
What age range are we talking here?
All appropriate.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, what is Jeffrey appropriate?
As Dylan said,
20s?
Legal.
Okay. I'm just asking.
20s?
Well, like, because I was explaining one girl to Dylan, and Dylan's first question is, how old is she? And I go, she's 25. And he goes, wow, really old for you.
I mean, I think for Jeffrey, the requirement is the first digit in her age must be a 2.
That's fair.
I think the requirement needs to be...
No, 23.
Yeah, 23 and up, probably. Okay.
You have to have graduated college, and you have to have at least be like in your first job.
Yeah, you would lose your mind like dating a college girl right now. There would be a fun element to it at the beginning, but I think
don't tempt me. No, there's nothing quite as exciting, and like there's nothing like quite as exciting and engaging as the thought of someone so dumb and so insane as like a 21-year-old college junior. Like that, oh man, let me tell you what. Like that's my kind of dumb.
Let's go get some sushi. Come pick me up at the bar at 12:30.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let's go drink some Moscato and watch Fuller House, or drink some Moscato and watch Orange is the New Black. Yeah. That's, let me tell you what, I'm already getting excited thinking about it.
Yeah.
So any prospects from those who slid into the DMs?
I'd say right now your boy's got a nice multiple choice exam in front of him.
Are you going to see the original suitor?
TBD.
Oh, really? So it's not even necessarily what? How did that happen? Is that an offline conversation?
No, early bird catches the worm.
Oh, God. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
Listen, hey, no, all I'm saying is it's if you're gonna be a little more aggressive and come after your boy, like I am an equal opportunity. Like I will if you propose something to me, I will be happy to go out with you.
Okay. Well, good luck on your
If you try to play it coy and try to play the make me come after you, I've done a lot to come after you. Be a little more available.
Yeah, you're not the effort guy.
Nope. And you got to know that on the front end.
Well, the multiple effort thing is...
It's the effort just to prove to me you're making an effort is the problem. That's the one where you just roll your eyes and go, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
You got to have a little bit of pride.
The rules, girl, I have no interest.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. All right. Have a good show. Talk soon. All right. Thanks to Jeffrey, as always. I think we serve as a bit of a warm-up for him before he gets on the Calkins show every morning around 9 o'clock there in Memphis. So appreciate his time. The podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. even yesterday, the message board talking about Sildenafil, and that's where you get a $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill. You can break it up into half, quarter, whatever you need to get you going. They'll help you out at TysonDrugs.com. 662.
Can even take it to the dugout with
252-2321. Somebody made an extension joke yesterday when we were discussing on the podcast. Yeah. Also, the great people at Tyson Drugs, now also operating G&M Pharmacy in Oxford on South Lamar. They deliver local, so check them out as well. Again, TysonDrugs.com.
You could take it out to the pitcher on the mound. You could take it to the bullpen. You could go out to the pitcher even if there's nothing in the bullpen. All sorts of options.
There are.
Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories, recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. Be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Tulane will either have a baseball series or a rowing contest this weekend out at Swayze. Ole Miss basketball will entertain Tennessee on Saturday at noon at the Pavilion. At the Pavilion tonight, it's Ole Miss and Kentucky women's basketball. Tickets available, olemisstix.com, olemisstix.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. OUB is also offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield. 3-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the 3-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Going to go to Chris Godoris in a few minutes. He'll close the podcast today. Again, Director of Operations for Ole Miss, analytics guy for the Rebels. So when we go to him, that'll be the end of the podcast. Get to that in a few minutes. First, quickly looking at scores from last night. Winthrop, the team that Ole Miss swept over the weekend, they had a rough night in Columbia, South Carolina. The Gamecocks 15, the Eagles 2. And in Columbia at Carolina Stadium. Auburn takes care of Troy 6-5. Good night for Auburn all the way around. Beat all them in basketball. Got the trophy from the national champions. That was nice.
Did it with seven players.
Saw that.
Mustafa Heron was out last night.
Georgia beats Kennesaw State 14-4. I think they had an 11-run inning or something at one point. Missouri goes on the road to Coral Gables last night and beats Miami 9-0.
Go Tigers.
Ole Miss needs him to win. Needs some SEC, RPI things there. Neil's going to have the sweatshirt next week. I mean, he's really been a Missouri homer for a while now. So,
yeah.
Going to have to get Gabe to send some gear down here and see what we can do.
So, Pat, you know, I was thinking.
You see that hatchet over there? Let's bury it.
Let's bury this.
Not in a back. Florida 7, Bethune-Cookman 4 last night. Vanderbilt 15, Presbyterian 2. The Blue Hoes had a rough midweek in Nashville this week.
It's a rough time to be a hoe.
Hose.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Like Bison's hose.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt's ace wears number 66. This is bothering me.
That is weird. What
Drake Fellows wears number 66.
Why?
I don't know. They have like a 48 and a 54, too. I don't know. They do weird stuff over there.
Are they retiring lots of numbers? Are they doing the number retiring thing?
I haven't seen that. They need to chill out. Corbin's gone because they might not have any left.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because they got a lot.
Well, he's leaving for state here in a couple months, so don't worry about it.
Literally, you and I have a better chance of getting Rachel Nichols to come be a third co-host on this podcast.
You think it's about equal odds?
Literally. She's really good, by the way. Her NBA commentary day in and day out is just fantastic.
Is she?
She's really, really good. You ever met her?
I have not.
I met her in Chicago a few years ago. I was a couple days before the Saints-Bears. I was going to say a couple years ago. 10 years ago. Saints-Bears NFC title game. Could not be nicer.
Yeah, and because I don't watch a lot of NBA, I haven't really followed her either, so I'm not overly.
She does a lot of commentary NBA, like video columns. And she's excellent. Really, really good.
I give Teddy Cahill credit last night. He just kept on arguing with these people. I mean, over and over and over again for hours. Strange.
Yeah, at the risk of... I was talking to Ben Craddock about something yesterday. We were talking about arguing on Twitter. You just can't. It won't work.
Respectfully disagree. Easily the best stadium in college baseball. Recent success with an SEC championship and a national championship appearance. Ability to recruit at a very high level. And an AD who will throw money at baseball. Not to mention one of the best fan bases in baseball.
And the argument's about Tim Corbin?
No, the argument's about State being the number one baseball job in the country.
It's ridiculous. It's not even close.
Then Teddy Cahill points out that Arkansas and A&M have more in-state talent, and the guy comes back and goes, how does that make it a better job, honestly?
Well, you see, sir.
There's this 11.7 thing.
And there's also this thing on a baseball field. You can play up to 9 players on the field at one time. If your 9 players are more athletically gifted than their 9 players, you're going to have a better chance of winning. Sort of how that works. And if they have more scholarships to give their 9 players, well, it's going to work out better for them in the end. Look, State's a good job. State's got a limitation on that job.
They don't even discuss it. Like, it's not even a factor in their thought processes. It's because their media won't touch it because that might look bad on Mississippi State. So the media can't talk about scholarships because, hey, no, it's got to be the best job in the country.
What's going to be interesting is that Will Salmon is not that type.
Yeah.
He's going to write about it objectively.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to lose their minds.
Well, it's 8
like, now. Like you just said, I mean, you cover Ole Miss. If you rank the Ole Miss baseball job. It's
8th.
It's 8th.
And I've got it a smidge ahead of Mississippi State. It's really close. You could alternate them however you want. You probably could even throw A&M kind of in that tier if you'd like. But 7, 8, 9, State, yeah. A&M.
There are a handful of jobs that just because of the scholarship thing and the resources and that talent, they have in the in-state town are just better jobs.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I mean, you know, the whole AD's going to throw a bunch of money at the coach thing. I mean, there's limits on how much money you can throw at somebody.
And a lot of people are throwing money at the coach now.
Yeah,
in college baseball. That's not new.
No,
I mean,
people are investing in it now.
It's a growing sport.
It is.
I need to leave it alone. It's bugging me.
My point is that it's where the difference in the beat is. You say that and no one backlashes at you. Well, a few people do, but
well, I mean, there's like there's the minutia on levels, and I get that. I mean, have that argument if you'd like to, but I mean, overall.
I mean, Ole Miss is a top 15 job in the nation.
Yeah.
But it's right around the midway mark in the SEC, and that's the waters you swim in.
Yeah, it's not
if wrong. If you put a lottery in Mississippi and change the game, the Ole Miss job would be a plum top 5 or 6 job.
Yeah, State would be very high, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk a little Miss Baseball now. Again, we'll go to Chris Godoris to close the podcast today. We appreciate Jeffrey. Appreciate Chris joining us. And we'll probably talk a little more actual sports tomorrow on the show to close out the work week. So, talk to you then.
Chris, thanks so much for giving us a little bit of time this morning. You've been in Oxford a little while now. How's it been compared to, I guess, you're from the Northeast, so a little culture change, I would imagine.
Thank you for having me, Chase. Yeah, I moved here about 3 weeks ago, and you know, I've been pretty busy, so I haven't had a lot of time to explore. But you know, it's definitely not New York, which is where I'm from, so it's a little bit of a culture change.
What are you missing as far as food or just something along those lines? There's got to be something in New York that is not available down here that's been an issue so far in 3 weeks.
Well, you know, New York, the pizza and bagels are kind of a big thing up there, and I've been a little afraid to try pizza and bagels down here. So that would be the one thing that I kind of miss the most. But the food here has been great.
Yeah.
I had some barbecue. I had some Chinese food the other day. That was really good. So I haven't been starving. That's a good thing.
You had Chinese food here that was okay, huh?
Yeah, on Jackson. God, what name it was.
Okay. No, that's fine. We got a couple pizza places, but you're right. Bagel-wise, Not a lot of options. Like, Beagle Bagel's okay, but it's not going to be New York. That's probably the one thing you're probably going to have to just live without a little bit unless you can figure out a way to do it yourself.
Yeah, I know. I knew that coming in, so
yeah, no, I'm
not that heartbroken.
Okay, so Chris, obviously you've got a lot of experience in the pro game, you're in the Phillies organization, the Mets organization. What made the college program, the college game interesting to you?
Well, to be honest, up until 4 months or so ago, you know, college baseball was not really on my radar. I was always someone that saw myself working on the pro side. But through a mutual friend, I got in touch with Carl Lafferty here, and he started describing to me this position that was opening up. So I did some research into Ole Miss and just saw, you know, how passionate the fan base is here and how dedicated the program is to winning. And it just was a perfect opportunity for me to come in, use the skills I gained in the pro side, and just try to bring a national championship to, you know, a dedicated fan base that deserves a national championship. And I just want to be here and do whatever I can to help this program on and off the field succeed. And, you know, it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up once I heard about it.
Yeah, just kind of curious. I mean, obviously you knew something, but I mean, as far as how a college program runs day to day, how close was what you kind of had in mind versus how it does operate once you got here?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a lot of things that I didn't, you know, anticipate about the college game. I didn't see, you know, I didn't know how dedicated these students are as student athletes, and, you know, their classwork and how involved the program is. And make sure they have enough time to go to their tutors to study, to excel in the classroom. And I didn't understand that side of the game. Just how much work goes into preparing, you know, day to day for everything we do around here.
I'm somewhat fascinated. Yeah, sorry. I'm somewhat fascinated in how college games are moving into the analytics side. Obviously, they've had TrackMan for a while, but at this point, where is sort of the college game compared to the pro game in how they analyze that data and use some of the analytics tools at your disposal?
I think that's a very interesting question, and I think it varies program right now. There are some programs that, you know, are ahead of even where we're at as far as what they do with the data they have. And it's our goal right now to, you know, try to be as good and better than those programs. So, I think me coming in here and bringing some of the knowledge I gained working on the pro side, me and Carl Lafferty reaching out to, you know, some contacts we have on the pro side to see what we can be doing to do better, to use analytics to make our guys better, to improve our strategy on the field. It's definitely growing, and hopefully we can move our program forward into the future and use, you know, that side of the game to give us an advantage over our opponents. And, you know, it's baseball, it's the SEC, and it's, you know, kind of cutthroat, so everyone's going to be trying to improve, and it's going to be a race to see, you know, who can improve fastest. So it's an exciting time in college baseball, I'll say that.
If you can say this, what are a couple of things that, you know, you measure that do help from a, you know, from a actual quantitative standpoint and how it can help on the field from your data?
So obviously we have TrackMan data, which is something that we use to analyze, you know, both our pitchers and our hitters, to kind of see some things that they can do that maybe to the naked eye you can't see. For example, we have some guys with exceptional raw power that we've always known were stronger guys. Now we see their exit velocities and how they stand out compared to other guys on the field and in the college game. Video is something, you know, our video program was a little lacking in the years prior to me coming in here. Our video manager, Ethan Moore, you know, he worked very hard for the last few years to kind of use the bat system that we use for video without anyone really telling him how to do it. So he post-game have 4 hours worth of work to kind of put the video together so that our coaching staff could analyze our players. And I come in and, you know, I worked with video on the pro side for a while. I've kind of improved that process for him so it's more efficient. And we cut down that 4 hours worth of work to 1 hour. And we have multiple angles for, you know, our coaching staff to view. They can view from home, so we post it all to the internet. So we have a lot of different ways that we are using, you know, video and data to improve our coaching.
You mentioned exit velocities and obviously launch angles. Are those things where you can combine that data with video and almost kind of read it to tell how a player is executing certain things as far as how they're fundamentally sound during at bats and games?
A little bit.
Okay.
Not entirely. A lot of the times you have to look at, you know, exit velocity and launch angle kind of on its own and realize that that's, you know, raw ability, and kind of look at where players can get the most out of their swing. That's not so much video as it is, you know, TrackMan data and planning, you know, what pitches they should be looking for to drive, things like that.
From a pitching side, obviously, you know, in the last few years of the college game, we've been hearing more about RPMs, and that's been a thing in the major leagues in a while. What are you kind of seeing from some of Ole Miss's guys from the standpoint of TrackMan data from the pitching side?
Yeah, we have a lot of guys that, you know, are very talented. Houston Roth is someone that, you know, traditionally looking at him, someone that doesn't really throw 95, 96. He throws more around 90. But his TrackMan numbers, you know, are great. And, you know, the results on his fastball and slider, you know, he's a really talented pitcher. And I think that if you were looking at him 10 years ago, you might not see that. And now you see a player like him and you realize this is someone that could be a special college arm. So we have a lot of guys that, you know, looking at their data, you kind of see them taking a step forward in the years to come. And it's really exciting looking at them from that way.
Yeah, the Houston Roth thing was actually what I was going to mention. That was fascinating. I saw the tweet the other day where his slider had the highest whiff rate on the staff. I mean, I've covered the team, and I would never have thought that. So it kind of took me aback when I saw it. I thought, it's kind of cool how you guys are at least putting some of that more out publicly for people to digest it and understand it.
Yeah, that new Twitter page you put out last week, this Coach Danko's idea that he kind of put me in charge of, so I'm kind of the data guy, and it's gotten a lot of positive feedback. For anyone listening and wants to follow it, it's at OMBSB Analytics. So we post a lot of, you know, data for our fans, come and kind of see the game from a different angle. And like I said, it's got a lot of positive feedback. They even talked about it on the TV broadcast the other day. So yeah, that's definitely something I'm very proud of, how, you know, in such a quick time, it's kind of taken off.
Maybe this is not necessarily your area, but it's kind of curious. Because of 56 games and smaller sample sizes, where's the college game that you've noticed from an advanced stats or a sabermetrics point, maybe compared to some things that you have seen in the past at the pro level?
Yeah, it's definitely different. The amount of information available is a little bit less. Luckily, we have some sources of data that, you know, do help us with, you know, looking at other teams, whether it's other coaches that we reach out to that give us their advanced reports, or we partner with a company called Synergy that provides a lot of data that we use to prepare for, you know, teams coming up. So we do have avenues. Obviously, it's a lot less information than we had at the major league level. But, you know, we have, you know, opportunities to use the data to try to get some edge over our opponents. And I imagine that going forward, more information will be available in college, you know, year by year.
As far as conference play, I would assume most SEC stadiums at least have the TrackMan data. Is that something that you only have information for yourselves, or is that something where it is traded or you have a way to access it for any opponents, whether it be league or non-league?
So it is possible to make deals and trade with teams. Right now, we're not one of the schools that does that.
Okay.
Which is good and bad. You know, bad that we don't have data on them, good that they don't have data on them. So it's ups and downs there.
What do you think, that's something where over time it does become more prevalent for schools to take part in that sharing program? Or, I mean, is that something that you think is more of a coaching staff decision by school, just to, no matter what, you know, what year or how far it progresses?
It's definitely a coaching staff decision. We've talked about it a little bit, and it's something that we're open to in the future. But right now we're going to stick with the way we're doing it.
Just kind of curious. He's obviously projected to be an early round draft pick this summer. Ryan Rawlinson is a sophomore. From a TrackMan data standpoint, what sticks out about Ryan? Because obviously we see things with the naked eye, but does that hold up on your computers as well?
Yeah. I mean, Ryan's just an excellent pitcher, and there are some things about him that TrackMan can't show you, or no data can show you, you know, how great a kid he is. He's just an A-plus human being. And, you know, his composure on the mound, the way he carries himself on and off the field, he's just a special talent.
Do you think that your position, is it something that is very widespread in the SEC? I mean, do you think Ole Miss is kind of taking a step in front of some other schools? Because I haven't really heard a lot about necessarily having people on staff to analyze it maybe to this degree at a lot of other places.
I know that there are at least a couple more schools that, you know, have people in similar roles. But I do think that, you know, this was a decision by Ole Miss to kind of try to get ahead of the game, make sure that if other people are doing it, we're doing it. And if other people are not doing it, you know, we are gaining advantage over them by doing it. So I do imagine that in the next few years, most schools in SEC and in college baseball will have someone with an analytics background working for them. But right now, like I said, I think we're one of a handful in the SEC.
If you know what a normal day is like, what is kind of your normal day? Then how much of your time is spent self-scouting versus looking at other teams or getting anything ready from an opponent standpoint?
If I can describe my normal day in one word, to be busy. I usually get here, you know, around 7 a.m.-ish. So I do a lot of administrative work too, whether it's, you know, putting together credit card receipts or things like that. I help out with anything, you know, coach needs off the field. And then if anyone has, you know, an analyst question pop into their head, they'll turn to me because, you know, I'm the guy to do that. And they'll ask me, you know, can I get some reports for them or can get anything they need. I'll help out our, you know, video and track man interns, making sure everything is set up on that end for data collection during game. Then I'll put reports together, you know, if we have a game afterwards, just analyzing how the game went on the field. So long day is a lot of work, but, you know, very enjoyable work.
Do you think it's something as you get a little more comfortable too, you can kind of cut back and figure out where you're, you know, can streamline your day a little bit? Because I would assume that while it's the same things you've been doing, there are also, you know, enough differences to where as you get into a little more of a routine, it'll come more naturally.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anything you do, you know, over and over again, you learn how to be more efficient with it. You learn how to kind of, you know, outsource some of your work to people that you trust that can do it. Like I said, Ethan, our video guy, is doing video here for a few years, and I trust him a lot to, you know, handle a lot of that on his own. As far as advanced reports, Coach Mack handles that. He's the lead on that for us. But also one of our diamond girls, Jennifer Couch, has been an enormous help for us there. And, you know, she's learning kind of how to use Synergy and, you know, other things that we use to put together those reports, and, you know, I'm trusting her more and more to help us out there. So definitely the more I'm here, the more I, you know, see who can take a step forward and help out. And in the future, you know, I'd be interested in, you know, any students that want to volunteer and help out with analytics. Feel free to reach out to me, and if your background's strong, you know, I could always use some help. We're always looking to do to improve, you know, everything we do around here. And anyone that can help, we'd be interested in.
Had you seen any major college baseball or at least major conference college baseball prior to taking this job?
Yeah. So I worked for Baseball Info Solutions for a couple of years.
Right.
And we did a lot of college work there. So I'd be assigned games to do and collect data on. And then my second year there, I was kind of in a more managerial video scout role, helping all the first-year guys. So I'd look over all their work, make sure the data was good there. My first year there, Jamie Woodman was my favorite player I saw all year. So, you know, coming here to where, you know, he shone was kind of a cool moment. But yeah, I had some college experience, but nowhere near as much as I had on the pro side.
How's it been just being a little more hands-on? I mean, obviously, you know, with the team on the in some fashion on the field every day, just being a little more, I guess, part of the staff than necessarily just sitting in a room with video.
Oh, it's been great. You know, that's, you know, a big part of the reason I came here was because I felt I could make more of an impact here than I could on the pro side. You know, on the pro side, it's around minor league teams a lot, you know, kind of doing what I was told and, you know, just helping out. Whereas here, I feel like I can actually make an impact. You know, if I see something that can be improved, you know, Coach Banco is the boss here and his office is right across the hall from mine. So I go there and say, approach him with a good idea. He's very open-minded to doing what we can to improve. For example, our video program is something that, you know, I felt when I stepped in here, we were a little in the dark, a little behind on, and she was very open to making the changes necessary to improve that, and the coaching staff has been, you know, in love with all the progress we've made there.
Was that some of the analyzing of the interview process? I mean, when you come in and you first are trying to get the job or you interview, was it type of things to see what you could streamline and fix, and what was kind of that conversation or that process like?
Yeah, I think that was definitely a huge part of the interview process for me. I didn't have as much, you know, operations background as far as day-to-day, you know, booking flights, things like that, as maybe some of the other candidates did. But I did have a lot of, you know, experience with bats and video and trackman and all this stuff that I kind of brought a new side to the game that a lot of coaches here didn't have. So I just definitely bring something new to the table. So I think that, you know, that unique background is something that lends well with, you know, our coaching staff here is very experienced and they're just great at what they do. So having someone that can just support them, I think, was huge.
Chris, I really appreciate it. And let's, as conference season gets going, let's talk again.
Definitely. I appreciate you having me on.